You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
As mentioned, buying a car is probably one of the biggest financial decisions in your life, and it can be a very daunting experience if you don't know what to expect. In today's conversation, Iman will be sharing with us some tips and advice on what to look out for when buying a used car in order to make sure that, like I said, you get your vrpa and a bang for your money. And I think the line is much better now. Good evening, Iman.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
No, I'm fine. And a greeting to the listeners as well.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you so much for your time. Well, we've run out of time, so let's cut to the chase. Buying a used car. What are some of the common reasons, Iman, that people would consider buying a used car rather than actually buying a new car?
For one, since this is a discussion based on finances or financial management, a car loses value as soon as you drive it off the floor. So in essence, you are trying to get someone else to take the bullet for whatever losses that they may incur by buying a brand new car. Mm. You will get to enjoy the same car, not the depreciation that the first owner would have suffered.
Mm. Okay. Yes. Okay. How true is that? I've always wondered, and I've always had people say that as soon as it goes out, then it loses value. What about when it leaves the used car dealership? Does it lose value as well?
It will lose value, yes, but the percentage will not be as bad as for one who's buying it brand new.
Mm, so that's exactly what I want to understand. What is it that causes that? Because as you say, and some people say in the market, that it seems like the depreciation on the one that's new is faster than the one that's not new. But you know, we're buying them from a dealer. Yes, the other dealer is a second-hand dealer. But what exactly makes it to lose value? Is it that time when you start the ignition, the value goes down? What exactly causes it to go down?
Perhaps the greatest reason why it would lose more value when it's new is that you take a car off the lot and it has, say, 100,000 value.
Yeah.
Even if we were to say that this car is not brand new, 3 years, 4 years down the line, it will still have some value, intrinsic value in it.
Yeah.
We can't go below that, but we can only take off from what was the value when it was brand new.
Yeah.
So as the years go by, it gets to that value that it is intrinsically, that it is a car, it is a commodity. Mm. We can trade with it, whether it is new or it is not new. It's not, it's neither here nor there, but it's something that someone else can use. Mm. So the greatest loss, I'm supposing, would be from the fact that if it's not new anymore, no one will look at it as a new car. You can't say that you're selling it. It can only be new once.
You can
only be the first driver once, so that once that is gone, then
Now that makes sense. It can only be new once. Once you get on it and drive off, it's no longer new. Yeah, it's no longer out of the box and all that. I just want to ask something. Maybe you might know as well. Just as a side question, you know, we are told that these things they get driven for, especially dealerships here in the central part or in the inlands of the country. They get driven here. So those kilometers from the, I suppose, the ports don't count.
Okay, let's clear something. If you buy a new, say, let's use Toyota for example. It's coming from Durban. It's coming up to Johannesburg, or you have a dealership in the northwest.
Yeah.
The first prize would be to get that car on a truck.
Okay.
Once that car gets on a truck, when it gets to whatever dealership it's going to be driven off that, it will have a few kilos on it,
yeah.
because it was driven from the parking lot at
Yeah.
the factory onto the truck, and from the truck into the dealership floor,
Yeah.
and they'll move it a few times around,
Yeah.
put it in front, put it at the back, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That will not make much of a difference. But in the case where a buyer says that, no, I'm looking for this car, and you are in Joburg, and they don't have the color or the specifications that you want in Johannesburg, but someone else has it, say in George, and you're looking for that car as soon as yesterday. The truck, perhaps logistics companies will have a trip that comes up to the north or inland once a week, and you're not willing to wait that, you know, then you must be willing to take those few kilos and say, yes, I'm willing to take those few kilos off my brand new car clock. Yes.
Okay. Now that's fine. And then the decision then to buy you know, a used car versus buying a new car. What informs that decision?
Besides what we've already discussed, would be also budget.
Okay.
If, for instance, say you are looking for a C-Class with certain features, and you could not find one brand new, and they had to make one new for you, and they said, okay, but we have a car that like that, exactly like what you're looking for, but it's been a pool car. It has not been owned by anyone. It was owned by the dealer themselves, and you'd call that demo cars. Then you would be willing to say, okay, because someone took the first few kilos off that, and I'm not too concerned about being the first owner, I'd be willing to pay 60,000 less or 100,000 less for a car that has never been owned by someone. It's still in a good condition. That would work for you, yes.
Okay. And then without necessarily naming the brands, right? Because I don't want to put this conversation on the limelight. Are there brands of cars that one should stay away from the point of view of buying a second-hand car? Because we hear that there's an X brand that, no, if it's second-hand, just don't go.
Yes, those are usually informed by experiences of people, not only experiences of private individuals like myself and you, but also dealerships will usually offer you a lot less for your car. Say if you have a certain brand of a car and you say, I want to use this car as a deposit for my next purchase. And if you find that your car is not, you're not getting a very good value compared to what you got or what you paid at the beginning, that usually is informed by what the dealerships know about what kind of trouble that car gives, or the kind of issues that those cars would give to someone else that they need to sell to. So it's informed by people's experiences, and also what dealers would know from those experiences.
Yeah, but those dealers are tsotsis, Wena Iman. They never really tell the truth, do they?
That, you know, that reputation for others is well deserved. For others, it's not so well deserved. But yeah, when you're getting yourself into a deal like this, you need to really go with it with your eyes wide open.
Yeah. Okay. True. And then the reason why I was asking about the kilometers there and the driving and everything is because, what is good mileage for a second-hand car, and what would be bad mileage for a second-hand car?
Look, there's probably cars that you can buy with 40,000, 50,000, and the market would consider that car brand new.
Okay.
And how you would tell is, you know, you go on the secondhand market and you find that, you know, cars are snapped up. Even when they're secondhand, they're snapped up. The car's there this week and next week it's not there.
Are those your German
that
ones?
That kind of situation. Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately not.
That's interesting.
Yes, it's mostly Japanese makes that you'd find that even a car that has 7-8 years, the car is still close to half a million, and the car was a million brand new. That would say something about the reputation that brand or that make of car has garnered in the market.
Okay, so 40 Ks, 40,000 kilometers is still considered brand new for certain models, and for certain models that's more like taking a bit of a risk, right?
Yes.
Okay. So there's this thing that people normally say that you must, go with a mechanic or a person who knows about cars. Is that the same sentiment you share?
Yes, that sentiment I share for the simple reason that you spoke about dishonest dealers.
Yeah.
Or dishonest private individuals, people who will tell you, nah, this car has never been in an accident. This car is 100% mechanically, and you take the car home, and 2 days later you realize that, you know, you've been sold a lemon, and you're dealing with a bill that you probably were not even bargaining for something that you considered new. So to try and avoid such fights where you find yourself having to fight with a dealer, going to court, going to this and that, you know, just avoid those things, because that costs money as well. I mean, and you don't have the time to be going to court and that kind of thing just to get, you know, what you believe is due to you or worth your monies. So get someone, they look through the car, and if it's small thing that they've missed them. And, you know, sometimes even the best of us get fooled or duped. But it's always better that you get someone who can give you a view or true reflection of what the car is.
Yeah. I mean, people who are novices like myself just want to hear. If I hear kutum kutum, so I'm like, I know it's not the one. Can't you know, man? You must have an educated, view about such things, because that's the first thing that people like myself who know nothing about cars often hear. I want to come back to this point, but you're saying 40,000 or thereabouts, you know, kilometers. Given the fact that everything else is fine around the car, the body, the shape, the color, everything seems fine, it hasn't been in an accident, why is mileage important? Why should I even consider the mileage of the car? What about the mileage is important?
Okay, a car is made of metals, and those metals produce the motion that you enjoy or that you need for your long trips through friction.
Yeah.
So the more mileage you accumulate, the more friction wears away certain things.
Okay.
And you can't reverse that process once it has started. So it's always best to get something that's as close to new as possible. Because it will give you more mileage before you have to start forking out money to repair certain things, replace certain things.
On average then, Iman, just on average, across the different brands, at what mileage should you start running away?
Okay, let's say manufacturers themselves will not give you a warranty beyond 100,000, 120,000. Because they know that once you reach that mileage, then you start getting into a mileage where, you know, something could be fine for the next 10 years and give you trouble-free service, or you could get into a situation where you are in the workshop every other month. So most of them will say to you, okay, if your car is 5 years old or below 100,000, we are willing to give you a warranty. Whatever falls apart, we will cover it under our own costs. And if you want a car that's on that borderline and you want to extend by another 30,000, 40,000, we're willing to look into that, and we're still fine with that. But beyond that, most people or most dealers or manufacturers will walk away and tell you, no, we can't take that risk.
But
if you are a car buyer or a customer, potentially, I think you should take the same view.
Sure. That's interesting. I mean, a Porsche, for example, Iman, I mean, are you telling me that at 130, 140, I should run away? That thing is already still worth over half a mil.
Yes. And the bills will be the bills of a car that's still worth 2 million. So that's why most people would run away. So, yeah, that's it. You know, people would go out there and say, I found a bargain for this car was 2 million when it was new.
Yeah.
It's now 800,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's well within my means. Now I can afford it. But when it comes to time for maintenance, that car is not an 800,000 car. It still remains a 2 million rand car.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You just burst my bubble on a Porsche there. But that's fine. You know, I was looking for a Porsche. Okay. The dealers themselves, they need to be accredited. Does that give us some sort of comfort if you buy from an RMI accredited secondhand dealership?
Yes, it gives you some form of comfort.
But there's a but.
For one, it means that they have a certain level of ethics to withstand or withhold.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, it also means that should you have any recourse against them, there's more reputational damage that they would want to steer away from by trying to help you or trying their best to help you get whatever it is sorted out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah. That's much better. As we round it off then, some key considerations, would you say, especially I know our ladies, when they go and buy a car, there's things that they just don't really look at. What would you say are the pointed things when you then go buy a second-hand car that you need to consider as we round it up?
Okay, for one, a car that has already had some mileage will not be new.
Mm-hmm.
So if your budget, for instance, is 100,000 for whatever purchase that you want to take, you don't go and spend the whole 100,000 on that car and hope for the best that, no, for the next 3 years, I'm not going to have any major bills. So you factor in that, okay, there could be an issue with tires. There could be things that have not been told about, as honest as whatever report has been given. There could be things that are hidden, and it could be that they knew about them or they did not know about them. Or something could develop once the car has changed hands. So take that into consideration. So maybe spend 85,000 and say this 15,000 I've put aside for in case I find out something that was not there when I bought the car. Then you take that 15,000 and spend it on whatever you need to get fixed. If your budget is 100,000 and that is the maximum that you can spend as far as your budget is concerned, when you've stretched it out whichever way, then it's not wise to take a car worth 100,000 or take a car that was worth 300,000 at some stage and has now dropped to 100,000. Like I said, the car might be worth 100,000 now, but the parts, the labor and all that thing is still from a car that's worth 300,000.
Yeah.
So take that into consideration as well. And then whatever car it is that you're looking to buy, the best advice you could get is from forums. I mean, there's forums on YouTube for BMW owners, Mercedes owners, Toyota owners, whatever brand of car that you, unless the brand is still new. And that's why most people will steer away from new brands, because they don't know what problems are there and if they'll be able to get those problems fixed within their budget.
Yeah.
So go into those forums and, you know, interact with people. I'm looking to buy this car. What do you guys think? They'll be able to tell you what the major issues are, and you can say whether you can sign up for that or not. And then there are also surveys online from big companies, JD Powers and Associates, JDPowers.com. I'm not affiliated to them in any way, but if you're looking for any car, you go on their website, they'll tell you what the rank is as far as reliability, dependability, and all those things over a period of 3 years for the last whatever model of car you want. You can go back 5 years, you can go back 6 years if you're looking for a car from 6 years ago and see what people were saying then who owned the car about their purchase. Whether they were happy about their purchase 2 years later or not, then you'll be able to make your decision. And then most manufacturers, if you wanted to buy a Corolla, for example, you can go to Toyota and ask them. My friend Tapelo wants to sell me a car.
Yeah,
that's the VIN number. Can you check for me if it's been in an accident before? And they'd be happy to help you, you know, check if the car has been in an accident or it's been written off, if it's been stolen or anything like that. I mean, they'd be more than willing to help you at no cost or no fee to you. And then, the more expensive the car, the higher the depreciation. So if you find a car that's worth $200,000 because 3 years ago it was worth $600 or $800, just be aware of those things, that you are taking something that is worth a lot more than what your budget is, and you might not be able to keep up with the maintenance as far as parts prices are concerned.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's an interesting one. And then the shape and the color, I'm asking now for my ladies here. Should they look at the shape and the color? Does that matter?
Okay. If you were buying a car right now and with the eye to that, okay, I'm going to buy this car now and 3 years from now I'm going to sell it. The more, what do we say? The colors that are less in your face are the colors that would sell well when you came to the period of selling your car.
Okay.
Not everyone would like a yellow Mercedes.
Yeah.
Or a green BMW, you know. So when you yourself buy that car, you need to also take into consideration that at some stage you'll need to sell it. And if you have, anything funny like that, you might be left with the car that you can't sell, not because it's not a good car, but because someone is thinking, no, I'm going to be seen in a yellow Mercedes or a yellow whatever. It will put them off very quickly.
Yeah.
But in terms of you as a person buying a car, those colors will not change the price. And if you had loaded up your car to the hilt with all the technology that was available for that car, you're not going to get that money back.
All that
is going to happen 3 or 4 years down the line is that your car will get sold quicker because it has those options. So if you get all those fancy technologies and all that is available for that car, you've ticked every box. When it comes to time for selling, me and you who has bought the basic one and you have bought the one that is loaded, we're going to get basically the same price because the what informs the price is not what is in the vehicle, but more the mileage and what year model the car is. So you won't get that money back if you spec the car that way. It's just that you might get that someone will say, okay, because this one has all these features, I'm going to go for this one.
I think what you are just saying is just be basic. Buy a basic car, not an expensive one, because it will lose depreciation. It will depreciate much quicker. Stay away from color. Stay away from technology. Stop sporting this thing. Just be basic. That's what you're saying.
And not necessarily. I'm saying that, you know, you need to you need to know that if you have done that to your car and you have shown your love for this car, you're not going to get that money back because not everyone loves the car the way that you do.
Yeah.
Someone might just look at it and say, it's just a BMW, man. And you think, hey, it's got motorsport, it's got this, it's got park distance control, it's got all these things. Someone looks at it and says, no, I need a car to get me from point A to point B. They're not going to be looking at those things to buy your car.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. All right. Thank you so much, Ivan. You've just complicated our lives. But I think we appreciate those insights. It's things we never really think about. But you're quite right. No one wants to be seen in a yellow car, except me. I'm going to try a yellow car one of these days. But thanks for your time this evening.
Okay. You're most welcome.
Have a good one.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.